All right, Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 6 through 14 together, and then we'll read one other verse, and I want to help our church tonight. Joshua chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. And if you don't know how to pronounce some of these names, don't worry, nobody else does either, just slaughter through them. All right, Joshua chapter 10, verses 6 through 14, let's read responsively. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them, that means he whooped them, before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth-Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makakeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, they were in going down to Beth-Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them to Azekah, and did... And they were more which died with the hailstones than they with whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then I told you we were going to slaughter through that. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And let's read verse 14 together. Ready? And there was no day like that day before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I'll read one other verse to you. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let's pray. Father, I need you. Lord, the next 34, 35 minutes, I pray that you'd empower me to help our church. Help us as we take another step forward. Help us as we move forward with our church, our church building, and moving our church from another point. Please help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church is poised for great numerical growth, just so you know. We're close to becoming able to move into our new building. And I don't know how true this is. I said this earlier. I don't know if I said it this morning, but I've said it to a few people. Brother Fugit contacted me this week. He said, Brother Bush, do you realize that your church is poised to probably be the fastest growing church for the next year or 2 years in America? I said, nope. He said, well, I do. And I said, I wish you wouldn't have told me. I'm happy not knowing things. We stand to really see a lot of growth and a lot of what the world would call success. Many new families will be coming and becoming a part of our church. By the way, we have many new families in our church, and thank God for it. And we'll continue to go after them one at a time. And each and every one of them is important. But may I say this? We've already seen God work. Amen. We've already seen God move. Yes, sir. I told a friend of mine just this week. He said, oh, I pray that God would bless you. I said, you know, God could keep his hand of blessing away from me the rest of my life, and I've gotten far more than I deserve. Amen. Oh, my soul. I don't want it to be, but I sure do enjoy seeing what God does. We see God work, and we see God move in our church, and we see every week what God does here at Grace Baptist Church. But as our church grows, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready for the growth and the success that comes with it? you're tested at both ends of the scale, when you're at the bottom and when you're succeeding. You know, there are more people that probably ruin their lives at a successful level than they do when they're on the bottom. Most people can't handle success. Very few people handle success well. I don't want you just to see success happen. I want you to be successful. I want you to be a part of the success. You see, success isn't based on the preacher, just so you know. Everything that's happened at Grace Baptist Church is in spite of the preacher, not because of the preacher. It's not a matter of God blessing me. God has blessed our church and our work and His word and what we are doing to obey Him. God blesses obedience. You understand, we started in a hotel and then went to another hotel, and then we were back and forth from hotel to hotel. Shoot, we were Sunday morning in one hotel, Sunday night in another, and everybody calling me where we eat Wednesday night. Then we got a building, and we rented that for a while. Then we had to leave that building because of the cost at $9,000-$10,000 a month that we couldn't build with that kind of debt. So we crammed everything into garages and basements that we owned, and crammed everything in here we could cram in here, and started here, and started buying property, and started building buildings, and paying engineers, and paying engineers, and paying engineers, and firing engineers, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just been miraculous what the Lord's doing. And we're going to move again. Do you realize this will be the fifth move in 6.5 years? Guess what? We're going into Canaan land, though. We don't have to move anymore. The next move is just cross the sidewalk to a bigger building. All right, and I don't have to move. And we'll pray about the 13 acres next to it, and God will give us that so we don't have to move again. Amen? But I'm not afraid of success. I'm not afraid of failure. God knows that. If I was afraid of failure, I'd have quit 30 years ago. I don't want you to be afraid to succeed. You know how many people are afraid of success? There are so many people that are afraid to succeed. Oh, they talk big that they want to do it till it comes time to do it, and then I don't think I can handle that. I don't want you to be afraid of it. I'd like you to be a key part of the success. God's success is always good. Let me say that again. God's success is always good.
Amen.
The Bible talks about in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, that thou shalt have good success. Did you know you can have success that's not good? The liquor industry is not good success. The drug industry is not good success. The immorality industry in Hollywood is not good success. It's success, but it's not good success. God wants us having success in that which is good. Here in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua is leading the Jews into the Canaan land. Remember, God promised it to the Jews 40 years prior to that, but they wouldn't go in. Now they're getting ready to go into Canaan land, and God said, I've already given you the victory, go claim it. At the beginning of the chapter, you see five kings of five separate cities in Canaan. And don't look at it. Just trust me. You can read it later. Most of you can't read anyway. And you got one eye going one way and one the other way. But there were five kings that got together in little kingdoms there in the Canaan territory. And they said, let's join together to fight against the Jews. And they called Joshua up to lead, to go against this formidable foe. And Joshua just said, come on, fellas, God took care of us at Ai. He's going to take care of us here.
Right.
He said, God's already given us the victory. Let's just march forward. Folks, can I tell you something? There's always a little fear in faith. There's always a little doubt in faith. If you didn't have doubt or fear in faith, you didn't need faith.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay?
God
already promised the success if they just do it God's way. Can I tell you when you start getting worried? When you start doing it your way. Then it's time to be afraid. But if you're obeying that book, just come out like a lion. It's all right. Just growl, roar, and they'll run away. Most people don't know what success really is. Success is not always money. Let me say that again. Success is not always money. Success is not always power. It's not always position. Success is not always possessions. It's not always something running smoothly. People say, well, you had a successful program there. It went very smoothly. That's called the duck philosophy. Calm and smooth on top while you pat it frantically underneath, all right? You don't see the panic behind the scenes that went into it looking like it went real smooth. As long as it looks smooth on top, you don't have to know where the panic was, amen? You say, why is this pulpit so big? To hide the panic, all right? Success is not always... Most of us don't know how to measure success. I'm not interested in how the devil's crowd or the world measures success. How does God measure success? See, I want our church to know what God's standard for success is and let him have the results. Do you know if you look at the successful people of the Bible, most people wouldn't call them successful? Gideon, he started with about 10, 12,000 people. 22,000, actually. And he shaved it down to 300 men to go fight. You wouldn't call that successful, but guess what? God brought the results, and he had great success. Amen. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took a great stand for God. Bless God, we're not bowing to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They bound them up and threw them in the fiery furnace. That doesn't sound like great success, does it? Now, they came out of the fiery furnace, and they were unharmed by the flames, but you wouldn't call that great success because of what they did. You'd call it great success because of what God did. See, God used Joshua to defeat the enemy. God did not drop the success in their lap. They had to battle for it. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Just because we walk into this building, throw the doors open and say, howdy y'all, we're here, doesn't mean it's going to fill up.
Amen.
I hate to disappoint you. You don't start a business by hanging your shingle on the wall saying, okay, everybody come, here I am. I've got a fella that calls and texts me every once in a while, and his elevator doesn't go quite to the top. His cheese fell out of his sandwich. He's a cheeseburger shy of a Happy Meal, but he's a good-hearted kind of guy, and he wants to start a business. And I told him, don't do it. He's been trying for 2 years to start a business. And he claims racism. He claims this. He claims that. He claims everybody's against him. It's amazing what he claims. I said, how many doors did you knock on passing out cards? None. It's on all the websites. I said, how many people have you talked to? I said, just because you have a card that has your name on it and he doesn't even have a building. He's a traveling worker. They don't even know where to go. I said, until you get your name out, nobody knows who you are or where you are. Well, that's not the way it should be. I said, well, it might not be, but that's the way it is. He said, well, you're building a church. How'd you get that way? I said, 6.5 years, we've knocked on 130,000 doors. I said, after you knock on 130,000 doors, give me a call. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Just because we walk into a brand new building doesn't mean everybody's going to start coming.
Right.
We still have to keep doing what got us where we are.
Amen.
And we're going to have to do more of it. That means we could gain more helpers, but that means we have more work to do. You know, preachers are the weirdest people in the world. We work hard at getting more problems. One of the only groups of people in the world that works hard at getting more problems, because every person you get is more problems. They carry with them baggage and problems and heartaches and burdens, and bless God, we love it. Why? I don't know, but you got to be called into this or don't take your meds. whatever success we see will come because of more hard work, not just because we change location.
Yes, sir.
Right. We will not open the doors of the church and just say, y'all come now, and they're going to come. We're going to have to work. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to visit. We're going to have to win more souls. We're going to have to train people. I'm going to have to preach more. And we're going to have to train preachers. We're going to have to hire people. You're going to have to give more. Not necessarily more money, but you're going to have to reach more people and keep on teaching people to tithe. I'd like every one of you to double your tithe. Say, what are you talking about? Give them more money? No, I'd like you to go out and reach somebody, teach them how to tithe, and bring them to church and teach them how to give.
Amen.
I don't want you to give any more than you're already given. Just go out and teach somebody, bring them in, and teach them how to do it. That's what God's plan is.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
You see, it's going to take people to mop the floors, clean up the nursery, take the trash out. It's going to take people to make sure the grass is cut and the gravel's leveled in the parking lot and the snow's pushed away and all that kind of stuff. Make sure that Brother Wiley's cigarettes get picked up. and all those things. It's going to take a group effort. Oh, that's right, Ashley's cigarettes, not Wiley's. I just forgot about that. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. Too many things that I should not say right there. Now, can I tell you something? I want to help get us ready for success. Now, if you listen to me, I'll give you a recipe of what success is, and I'll show you two things about it, and then we'll be done. Number one, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity, you have success. The choir sang this morning. They practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. It was successful. I didn't say it was perfect. It was better than it was had I been there. But it was successful. Shush. Can I tell you why? Because practice and the preparation met the opportunity and we had success. When preparation meets opportunity, you have success. Now, the key to success is being prepared when the opportunity comes. You can't wait for the opportunity to come and then get ready. You have to be ready before the opportunity comes. Brother Mike, in business and in your work, if you show up to a job site and then the architect shows up to start drawing the plans, it's going to be a long day. We didn't show up to 4272 Charlestown Road in the end of March and then meet the architect and say, can you start designing the building for us to meet in? It's going to be another 10 years. Good night. See, what was that? We had to prepare the plans. Then we had to get enough plans planned so that we have a second building in place because we had to make sure septic's big enough for two buildings, had to make sure water service is big enough for two buildings, had to make sure septic field's big enough for two buildings, had to make sure that we had all the availability and the land space and the elevations and all those things and the county approval. Guess what? We don't have to go through the county for our next building.
Amen.
Glory to God. You say, what was that preparation meeting opportunity? If you're going to go through the headache, go through it all at one time and get it over with.
Amen.
Found out it's not a headache that aches, but we won't talk about that. We cannot, by the way, you say, well, practice makes perfect. No, only perfect practice makes perfect.
Amen.
You know, you can practice something the wrong way and do it wrong.
That's right.
It's amazing. And baseball season starting up. February is my favorite month. It's spring training. Amen. It's amazing. You'd be surprised how many of your professional athletes hit off of a tee in practice. Just like a 4 or 5 year old. Many of them swing hundreds of times a day off of a tee. And they're hitting in a zone and they're training their eye and their hand to meet at the same place every time, so it's reflexive action. When they get out of sync and they go through a hitting slump, you know what they do? The hitting coach pull them aside underneath the tunnel and take them back, put a ball on a tee, and they'll go back to the fundamentals. Because what's happening is you're losing that fundamental motion, and they're just a fraction off. They're a fraction late. They're a fraction early. And it's milliseconds. But it's that hand-eye coordination and the exact motion every time, repetitive motion. Anybody that shoots a gun, or especially a pistol, it's a repetitive motion thing. You get to a point where you don't have to think. You just pull, draw, squeeze. And you say, what is that? So that when you're under pressure, you don't have to think about it.
That's right.
You have to think about, where's the safety? Where's this? Where's that? Guess what? They're going to pick you up with a lot of blood.
Right.
And we're going to preach your funeral. You don't have time to think. You have to have everything in responsive motion. Can I tell you something? That's true with success. You have to have the preparation. By the way, that's why I'm for constitutional carry, just so you know.
Amen.
But in our church, if you're going to officially carry for our church, I want you to get your CCW. That gives us a line of preparation and help cover us with the insurance a little better. And I think it ought to be mandatory that you requalify every so often.
Amen.
Too many people get a piece of paper saying they're qualified to carry it and they never fire a weapon in a year. I think you ought to be firing it on a regular basis.
Amen.
Anybody doing okay?
Yeah,
yeah, buddy. I think you ought to be prepared. When I go hunting, when hunting season comes around, I take the guns out and tweak them in. Say why? And I'll fire a few rounds down, make sure they're hitting dead on. You say, why? Because all that preparation, it does you no good when the deer walks out if your gun's not on.
Amen.
Especially if the black powder's wet. Amen? It's black powder season this year, and had a deer walk out in front of me 25 yards. Good night. That's not a good sound. It starts walking. I click it open, pull the cap out, put another cap in. 30 yards. That's not good. Opened it up, pulled another cap out, put it in. 40 yards. I got one cap left. Let's try it. Popped it in. 45 yards. I was going to get down out of the tree and bang it over the head with the gun. That gun was worthless. Hey, what happened? I forgot I put my black powder in that pod all summer, and it drew damp. I got that gun out, got it home later, and took the black powder off. I scraped it off and put it down and tried to light it. Brother Mike, it wouldn't even light. It wouldn't even sparkle. I got about 3 sparkles out of a pile of black powder. I said, that's worthless. Say, what'd you do? Threw the whole box away. Say, why? I wasn't prepared. I didn't try my powder first. I had prepared everything but the powder. Guess what? I lost the success. That's exactly the formula. You have to be prepared before the opportunity comes. See, you can't wait till later to prepare. You've got to prepare now. We need to prepare for the building. We're getting chairs cleaned up, and we're going to be getting nursery stuff cleaned up, and we're going to be getting this cleaned up and that cleaned up. My dad and I were talking today, and we're working on a couple different projects for a couple different things that I want prepared so that when we get there, everything's ready to go all at one time. Brother Joe, do we need to shut that?
No.
Okay, come on in, Miss Regina. Don't worry about it. I need you to back me up and say amen for a while. Amen?
Amen.
Come on in. Come on down. The price is right. Anyway, so the key to success is being prepared for when opportunity comes. You can't wait till opportunity knocks to get prepared.
Amen.
Success comes because you were prepared prior to the opportunity.
That's good.
And when the opportunity comes, you're able to perform. I need people ready to help in Sunday school. I need people willing to step up when we split Sunday school classes and be able to teach or be helpers in Sunday school classes. We're going to need people to prepare to work in the nursery. We're going to need people prepared to help me with follow-up. We're going to need people prepared to jump into music and do more singing. Amen, Brother Randy? We're going to need help with it. God knows I need somebody prepared for it, that's for sure. We're going to need to be prepared for every aspect. I'm already working on getting the ushers prepared and the greeters prepared. I've got things that we've been working on, Mrs. Barnes and I, and I've got things ready for getting things ready in place, and I'm working on paperwork for it, and I'm working on parking lot stuff, and good night, there's so much to get ready for, it's not even funny. I have a million and one details going through my head. Y'all, pray for me. Pray for my wife. About the last 4 months, I haven't had my multivitamin. I just got them in this week and started taking them yesterday. Y'all ain't going to be able to keep up with me anymore. I forgot how good those things really are. I'm feeling like myself again. Glory. Hallelujah. They were on back order, amen. I'm going to buy an extra bottle and take them two at a time for a while. Anyway, you see, it's called Geritol for you, Mom. You opened up that door. I'm like Jesus, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We are going to have to be prepared for everybody that comes. Did you know we're going to have to be prepared to be nice to people when they come? Oh, I know some of you, that's so hard. Can I tell you something? You're going to have to be prepared for somebody else sitting in your seat. Yep. By the way, your name's not on it. Move your blessed assurance. I don't give a rip. Yep. You can have mine. I'm staying up here. Don't worry about it. You're going to have to be prepared to bring people in and love on them as family, even though did you notice we're growing?
Yes, sir.
We're getting more and more people, but guess what? That means we have to open up more and more. You're going to have to open up and realize somebody's going to hurt you. You're going to love on them, and they're going to decide they don't want our church and leave. Not that that's ever happened before. Say, well, I just don't want to get hurt. How many of you have been hurt by your own family that way? Haven't we all? So why should it be any different? They're sinners just like we are. We're going to love them. This is a hospital. People don't come to the hospital always and stay. I told the teenagers today, I didn't raise them just to stay in our church. We're going to send people out of our church. They're going to be preachers and preachers' wives. They're going to be missionaries. They're going to be people that move to other country or other places. But I want them to be in church. It's all right. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Who said that as you rear your family, they have to stay around you? Guess what? All of God's children but one isn't living where he's at. Until they die, they don't go back to him. Man, how'd you like to have that? Everybody doing okay? There is success as long as you are prepared. You may not succeed as much as you want, but if you're prepared, don't worry about the success. Let God take care of the success. Too many of us are looking for results instead of looking for preparation. Let's get prepared. I think if you sing a special or play a special, you ought to be prepared. You say, is it going to be perfect? No, but it'll be prepared. It'll be prepared. You think every sermon's perfect? Not a one of them are. I'm preaching them. But at least they're prepared. I'll promise you that.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you do, I think you ought to be prepared. So when preparation and opportunity meet, you have success. Listen to this. Opportunity without preparation equals fear. Let me say that again. Preparation without opportunity equals fear. I won't do this, but if I walked over to Brother Harry and said, Brother Harry, come on up here for a second. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I promise you I won't. But if I said, Brother Harry, I'm not feeling well. I need you to preach tonight, so you just stand up here and preach tonight. You know what that's going to be? That's going to be total fear. All right? I'm not asking your wife to do it either, because she would try it. Now, wait a minute. Say why? Because he's not prepared. And I would never do that to anybody. You see, asking someone who's not prepared to do that, watch this, brings fear. I was 14 years old. I was singing in a high school ensemble. I did sing in an ensemble. I sang bass. I did not sing lead. No, I sang bass. And I was at a church one night, and the pastor, 10 minutes before the service started, said, here, you're going to be a preacher someday. I said, yes, sir. He said, good. After the group's done singing, you can preach tonight. Okay. I had 10 minutes to look through my Bible as a 14-year-old and get prepared to preach. I preached on Isaiah 53, amen? Say why, because that's where I turned to first. Read a verse and holler. I vowed that day never to be caught without a sermon in my Bible anywhere. This is my preaching Bible. My other Bible, I carry anywhere from 6 to 15 sermons in my Bible everywhere I go. I'm ready to preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll drop the hat. But you say, where'd you learn that as a 14-year-old? I was scared out of my stinking brain. I wasn't ready for that. I don't think he was wise. I don't think that pastor used good judgment or good wisdom, but he sure did teach me a good lesson. Mm-hmm. Number one, be prepared. Number two, don't ever do that to anybody. You see, feeling unprepared is always fearful. How many of you ever took a test that you didn't study for? Yeah. Some of you, that's every test. Practice alone doesn't mean success. Right and successful practice means success. You know, you can practice something the wrong way and you won't succeed. Let's put the right time and the right energy into our preparation. If you teach a Sunday school class, I think you ought to prepare your Sunday school lesson. I love hearing Brother Mike teach, and I teach the teenagers, but sometimes my voice and schedule and things, I'll bring the teenagers up here, and I let Brother Mike be my Sunday school teacher. You say, why? Because I need it. I love how Brother Mike prepares, and he does prepare. A lot of times on a Saturday morning, I'll text him about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. He'd say, I'm working on my Sunday school lesson, preacher, and I got this, and he's sharing something with me, and I'm thinking, man, I love it. I love a Sunday school teacher that's prepared. My wife teaches 3 to 5-year-olds. What she's doing, how much time she put into preparing to teach 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Don't put me in that room. I'll kill them all. All right? Just don't do it. Just eat them for breakfast, amen? I can't teach little ones like that well. She loves it, not me. Don't do that to me. Now, I love the kids, but I don't think I could teach 3, 4, 5-year-olds every week. I might get away with it once in a lifetime. I mean, in a while. But I think we ought to be prepared for the nursery. Ladies, I think you ought to take a spiritual approach. You know, work in the nursery is important. Well, you can take a big load off of letting mamas come into a church and sit down in church service and let God change their life. It's not a gossip room. If you can't work in the nursery and keep your gossip mouth shut, don't work in the nursery and sit in church and let me preach the devil out of you. Amen. Everybody doing okay? I don't know how else to say that. It's not to be sitting there talking about somebody. You ought to be praying for the mamas of the babies you're rocking. You ought to be praying for those little babies who you change their nasty diapers. Someday they're going to grow up and lead. I thank God for the ladies that changed my diaper in the nursery. I don't know who they are and don't want to know who they are. Because I'm sure I did something I shouldn't have done. Maybe I should have done it, but they didn't want it done there. It's an important job. And I think you ought to do it right. I think you ought to do it with a smile. I don't think you ought to come to work in the nursery. All right, I'll take your nasty little baby. All right, that's not what we're talking about. All right? You don't grab them by the head and shove a bottle in and plop them down, all right? You might do that at home, but don't do it at church, all right? Yeah. If you're going to clean the building, I think you ought to do it and make it the best you can make it. We might not have fancy buildings, but they're going to be clean. I'm for clean. I vacuumed the carpet in here today. I make sure, and there's people that come in here and clean the bathrooms, but they don't clean them to our standards. So I make sure that the bathrooms are ready before every service. You say, preacher, yeah, I clean toilets. I've cleaned them. I've cleaned more toilets, and you know what to think about cleaning. Brother Joe, he's watched me unclog commodes. Good night. I've been principal in schools before, and the kids had, there's a commode all backed up. You know, somebody did a job in there and unloaded a whole roll of toilet paper just to see it all back up. Say, what'd you do? I grabbed that old stinking plunger and go down the hall. Dun, 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 dun. All right? And all the kids are going. Now, when you do that going to the commode, not coming back from. All right? There is strategy to that plan. Then he takes Brother Joe down the hallway with it. I'm going to get you. No. You say, you might as well enjoy it. It's not a good job, but somebody's got to do it. Might as well make the best of it. Did you know, I think that ushers and greeters ought to be prepared. Listen to me. I think that every person that works in a parking lot, everybody that works as a greeter, everybody that works as an usher, everybody that works in that realm, I think that this ought to be your prayer. God, I pray that every hand I shake, that they would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and let them know that we're welcoming them and we want them here. Lord, may they feel your presence through a handshake. When's the last time you ever asked God to help you with that? I think that the people in the parking lot, as ugly as they are, don't run them over. They are there to help you. They're not targets. All right? But I think they ought to have a smile on their face. And when they don't, and when you get crabby and don't listen to them, they don't get in an argument out there. Just let them go about their way. We'll go around them. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Oh, working on the bus. You know, we're going to add buses someday. We're not going to be satisfied with a bus. Maybe a couple dozen, but not a bus. All right? Someday. But we've got to have the workers to work the bus. We got to have Sunday school teachers to teach who we bring in. We got to have people prepared. I need you given enough money to pay for them to come here. Y'all doing okay? Come on now. Let's bring it on all the way down. As we grow, my preaching may seem repetitive at times to you, but remember, there's more people coming that don't know what you know. I haven't lost my mind. I'm not wandering, but you'll hear things over and over. And by the way, most of you don't remember what I preached last week, so don't worry about it. Well, I have it written down in my Bible, preacher. You preached out of this sermon 3 times in the last 3 years. All right, but I didn't preach the same sermon. Trust me, I looked. You see, we need to learn to listen to announcements. The announcements may not apply to you, but they may apply to somebody else. And if you're talking to somebody and they don't get it, that's why I get the phone calls. That's why every activity we have, I plan that day to answer my phone a half a dozen times at least. What time does it start? What time does it start? You've had flyers. You've had it announced 3 times a week, every week for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks. And it's, what time does it start? I don't say, I already told you, show up, whatever, all right? I don't do that. I just plan on it, okay? Yeah. Those of you that are late, I tell you an hour early so that you're there on time, maybe. Now, we need to learn to listen to announcements. And I don't know that anybody was guilty of this tonight, but just hang on. We need to learn to listen to the offertories while they're being played and done. It's not time to play. As we get more and more people, in this room, we get away with a little bit of stuff, but in a bigger auditorium, we're not going to be able to do that. So we might as well practice now. You know, those people work hard at that. If you knew how, if it's so easy, you get up and go play it, other than you. yeah, I know he does, and I appreciate that. Yeah, he practices all the time. That's it. And by the way, that's why we have success. Right. Let's make sure we listen. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
I'm going to need more of you to help go soul winning. Say, well, I don't know what to do. Show up, we'll teach you.
That's good.
You say, why? Because I got to teach you so that as we get more people, you can teach them. Everybody doing all right? Well, I haven't been soul winning in years. Good, come on out. We'll get you refreshed. Amen. Many people stay fearful because they never learn how to prepare. I'll teach you how to prepare. Sin often happens because we don't prepare for the temptation that comes our way. How many of you ever done something stupid and sinful and you thought, man, I wasn't ready for that to happen? Say why? Because you weren't prepared for it.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? You lost your temper and said things you shouldn't say. You said Southern Baptist. I mean, you said something like that. And I mean, you said some real bad words. You say, why? Because you weren't prepared in advance to know how you would respond if you ever faced that situation. I don't just lose my cool. If I ever lose it, it's been planned. Now, I have to work at it. I didn't say I never get angry, but I don't lose it. Well, I just have a short fuse. Honey, just because you put your fuse next to the match doesn't mean that you have a shorter fuse. Don't live next to the lit match. Your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just live right next to the flame. I avoid the flame. I get as far away so that I have time to calm myself before the event gets there. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Immorality happens because people aren't prepared to head down a path. Avoid the path. I got to hurry next. So, number one, success is preparation when meeting opportunity. Number two, opportunity without preparation equals fear. Number three, preparation without opportunity equals frustration. You can prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare, and if the opportunity doesn't come, you get frustrated. Okay, fellas, I hit the ladies for a while. You ready? That's not amen, it's oh me. You tell her you're going to take her on a date, and she prepares for it, and you don't do it. And then you don't do it again. And then you don't do it again, and you wonder why she's frustrated. I'm going there. Brother Mike said that could be fatal. But you wonder why she... Yeah, you don't know that by experience, right? I'm not going there. I'm preaching to this side. You know, being ready for something and preparing for it and it not happen. By the way, get telling your kids you're going to do something and not doing it and watch how frustrated they get. Everybody doing okay? Now, I realize there are emergencies, but some of you live in emergency. Some of you live in an ambulance because it's always woo, 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 woo all the time. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I liked that one. It wasn't even in my notes. That was the Holy Ghost, amen? My job as your pastor as we grow is to help create more opportunities as more people come. That's part of my job. I was sitting in Brother Heil's office one night before church. We would go spend about 10, 15 minutes with him in his office before church services. Sunday night before church, I was sitting in his office, and he would sit there, and he'd work on sermons, and every once in a while, he'd tell a joke, or he'd do some talking to us. One night, he was in there, and he was working away, and he said, "Fellas, I'm going to make a statement one time, and I'm going to be done, and I'll never say it again." He said, "I'll never tell our church this in this fashion, but the meaning will be preached tonight, but I want you to get the truth." Now, when Brother Heil said something like that, man, I was ready. I mean, I was like stink on a bug, buddy. I was there. He said, "I spend most of my time getting people to do what they would not normally do for themselves." He put his head down and started working. Never said another word. Man, I started chewing on that thing. Well, people wouldn't normally go soul winning. So he gets them busy trying to go soul winning. People normally wouldn't sing, but he's created junior choirs, primary choirs, teen choirs, adult choirs, special groups, this group, that group, and started getting people to do what they wouldn't normally do on their own. And they didn't normally want to go teach somebody, but he had 565 Sunday school classes. And there was an assistant teacher in every Sunday school class. So he had over 1,100 people prepared to teach the Word of God every Sunday. Whew. Can I tell you something? He was busy creating opportunity for people. Say why? Because he didn't want them to get frustrated. And you wonder why we ran 22, 24,000 every week? Wonder why the auditorium sat 7,000 people and it was jam-packed every service? I'll tell you why, because there was a man that kept people busy doing what they're supposed to do. You ought to see how many ushers it took to usher that building. I've overseen ushering before for that building for conferences and stuff. It's amazing. If I remember right, Brother Joe, do you remember how many ushers? Isn't it 77 or 72, something like 72 to 77 ushers for every service? Yeah, buddy. You all think you have trouble with three. Mm-hmm. Multiply that by 25. You see, that means we're going to add choirs. We're going to add Sunday school classes. We're going to add special groups. We're going to add pianists. We might end up someday with 20 pianists. Well, we'll put them on a schedule, one playing prelude, one playing postlude, and we'll have our church pianist, Kirsten, and we'll keep going. I'll create opportunities for them. We might have young pianists that need opportunities, so we'll put them in with a children's group to play kids' songs so that they're learning and performing in front of folks, using it, and it's adequate enough for a children's group, for a church service. Hey, I'm for that. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I'm talking about soul winning opportunities. Did you know there's more soul winning than just Tuesday night and Saturday morning? Someday we'll have ladies soul winning during the day. We'll have ladies soul winning if we need to in an evening, because some ladies work during the day and are off in the evening. We'll have just a men's soul winning. We'll have teen soul winning. And we'll have all kinds of soul winning opportunities. Say why? Because we have to keep the opportunity out there or people will get frustrated. We're going to add jobs. We'll add activities. We're going to add areas to serve. There's going to be, but we're not going to create something that's out of God's word to do that. We're going to keep it within the confines of God's word. Everybody doing okay? See, God will always bring opportunity. We need to be prepared and not get ahead of him. I know some of you are ready. It's okay. Hang on. Opportunity's coming. But I need you to understand, now don't get mad at me. I love everybody here. But if we're going to do the work of the Lord, we're going to dress the uniform of the work of the Lord. Is that not, if you go to work at a company that has uniforms, you have to wear the uniform. I think when we work for the Lord, we ought to dress right. I think we ought to dress by what that book says we should dress by. You can come to church, that's fine. You don't have to dress that way. It doesn't matter to me. But when we're going to do God's work, I expect you to dress right. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, hang in there. You say, well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. Go to your work and say that. Well, that's a little different. I get paid for that. In other words, God is your money. If the opportunity does not come, at least you know you're prepared. Man, I've had a lot of preparation that didn't come my way, but guess what? I had satisfaction knowing I was prepared. I'll tell a funny story and I'll be done. Almost. My youth director, when I was a teenager, I was preaching. He'd say, Craig, if you don't know what to preach, just preach what Jesus would preach. That was great. 22, 23 years old. I was in Southern California in our first church. I'm an assistant pastor. I get asked to go do a funeral. That man in the world, what do you say at a funeral? Well, if you don't know what to say, do what Jesus did. You know, I looked through that entire Bible and every funeral Jesus went to, the guy got up and walked away. I called my former youth pastor in Illinois and I said, that's not funny. He's laughing. Ha, 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 ha. I didn't think it was real funny at the time. I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals since then. But I don't preach what Jesus did because I can't get it. If they get up and walk out, I'm gone. Mm-mm. I say that way in advance. I'll be the next one they're putting under, but I'm having rapture practice. I'm gone. You see, if you're prepared, an emergency might come and I might need you. Everybody doing okay? Just be prepared. So preparation plus opportunity equals success. No preparation with opportunity means fear. Preparation with no opportunity means frustration. Are we ready for success we're about to have? Are you ready to sacrifice some time? Are you ready to jump in and help? Are you ready to be a part of it, or you just want to be a part of something that's successful and watch it be successful as you sit on your blessed assurance doing nothing? Now, folks, we're going forward. You know enough about this preacher, I don't sit very long. And we're going to make it happen, but I'd like you to go with it, not just sit with it.
That's good.
I'd like you to, the more people we get involved, the faster it goes. And the more we do, hey, when you lay your head down at night tonight, I'd like you to look up and say, God, I hope you had a good day. Quarter after four this morning when I got up, when I realized which way was up, I got to the shower and I said, God, I sure do want you to have a good day today. And about 16, 18 hours when I put my head down, I'm going to ask if you had a good day. Guess what? He already told me he did. He did. Watched what happened in our church today, and I got in my truck. I was headed to Mom and Dad's to eat lunch. She did let me eat there today. And I said, God, you did it again. You did it again. Whew. I said, I think you had a good day. Got another service. Can you do it again? And he did. You say, what is that? It's not me. It's God. It's not my work. Someday I'll die and be gone. You'll call another pastor. That's fine. But until then, we're just going to keep this thing going as hard and as fast and as well as we can and as close to what that book says. I'd like you to be a part of the success. That's all it is. Preparation plus opportunity. We've got the opportunity. Are you prepared? The opportunity is waiting for us. We better get ready for it. We better get ready for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I needed personally. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Hands everywhere going up. Thank you. You can put your hands down. You'd say, preacher, I have a need. You don't have to tell me out loud, but I have a special need in my life, and I need you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? All right, boy, my soul. Many, many hands. I'll pray for you. Thank you. You can put them down. Well, let's get prepared. The opportunity will come. Don't get frustrated if it's not there right when you want it. Hang on. It's coming. But let's get prepared.